Deuteronomy chapter number 11 for just a moment. I just want to read a few verses, and then we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter number 27. Man. Chapter 11 and chapter 27. Amen. How many of you want to be blessed by God?
Amen.
How many of you want the chastisement and the cursing of God on you? And the judgment of God? I didn't think so. We read this passage of Scripture right here in Deuteronomy chapter number 11. We're reading this to give us a little bit of context of the Scripture that we're going to read in just a moment. But I want us to see what God is talking about. I want us to see what God is telling us about of this account, of this instruction that He gives to the children of Israel while they're dwelling in the wilderness before they're to cross over the Jordan River and to take that Canaan land that's been promised to them for so long. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter number 11, in verse number 29, "And it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal. Are they not on the other side Jordan, by the way where the sun goeth down, in the land of the Canaanites, which dwell in the campaign over against Gilgal, beside the plains of Moreh? For ye shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you, and ye shall possess it and dwell therein. And ye shall observe to do all the statutes and the judgments which I set before you this day." Now take your Bibles and go with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 27. And what we'll find is further instruction of just exactly how God wants this done when the children of Israel are to pass over that Jordan River into that Canaan land. I believe that we'll find some interesting things, and we can see some interesting applications to yours and my life as the Christian as we look in this 27th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Deuteronomy chapter number 27, verse number 1 says this, "And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, Keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day when ye shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Therefore it shall be, when ye be gone over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones, which I command you this day, in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster. And there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shalt eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. And Moses and the priests and the Levites spake unto all Israel, saying, Take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when ye are come over Jordan. Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Joseph, and Benjamin. And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali." Let's pray. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you so much for this evening. Lord, I thank you for all the folks that you brought out. I pray that the message will be a blessing and an encouragement to somebody in here tonight. Lord, might you challenge our hearts and let your Holy Ghost be present in this service. Let his convicting power be real in our lives. We'll thank you for all of it. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. I'm very interested tonight in this passage of Scripture. As a matter of fact, my mind often goes to this passage of Scripture in this 27th chapter of Deuteronomy. And as a 19-year-old man, young man, only been called to preach just a few months, I had just started reading the Bible in Genesis, and no sooner than I got right here to this chapter, this 27th chapter of Deuteronomy, God gave me this message, and He's used it every day since then to challenge my heart and to keep myself in check with God so that I can discern whether or not I'm living in a place and standing in a place with God where I can receive blessings or I can receive curses. Now, if we take the practical application of what we find in this chapter, we know that it's for a testimony of the goodness of God, and it's for a testimony of the law of God, that He gave these very specific instructions to these people. The Levite priests, they would carry the ark over that river, and they would step across the Jordan on dry ground. They would come over there, and God gave them very specific instructions about how to build this altar. It's what we just read about in the 11th chapter of Deuteronomy, and we find that this thing is brought to fruition in the book of Joshua, I believe in the 8th chapter. But what we find in this passage of Scripture is that God is telling these people of this account. He's giving them very specific instructions, and I find it interesting, Brother Larry, that He tells half the tribes to stand on Mount Gerizim to bless, and He tells the other half to stand to curse. And just so we have a clue of a little bit of context to what's going on, it'd be like if God took this camp of Crossroads Baptist here tonight and He said, I want you folks to sit on the left side, I want you folks to sit on the right side, and you folks on the right side, Brother Michael's going to stand and he's going to preach the curses of God on you, and Brother Larry's going to stand on this side and he's going to preach the blessings of God on you. And He took that valley that was going right between those two mountains, and He took those Levites, those preachers, the priests, the people set apart to the work of God, and they preached the blessings of God and they preached the cursings of God. And many a times, if we look at our lives, we can look at the children of Israel and we can see the pictures of how God would lead us to a victorious place in God. Many a times we sing the songs and I love the hymns, but Canaan is not a picture of heaven. Canaan is not a picture of heaven tonight. Canaan is a picture in the Old Testament of the victorious Christian life. And God gives no greater and further detailed instruction of this passing from the wilderness and the wandering over into Canaan than this Scripture that we find right here in the 27th chapter of Deuteronomy. And we look at the specificities of this chapter, and I want to ask you in here tonight as we look into the Scriptures, which mountain are you standing on? Which mountain are you standing on? Is your life in a place where you would stand and God would bless your life? Or is your life in a place where you stand and you receive the chastisement of God for your disobedience? I believe that all of us in our lives, we can look into this passage of Scripture and we can see just a few things that stand out to us that can help us to discern where we stand with God and whether or not we stand in the place of God's blessing or we stand in the place of God's cursing. And the first thing that I'd like for us to notice is we have to realize is our authority in the right place. Is our authority in the right place? Verse number 1. And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. See, the fifth book in your King James Bible, the book of Deuteronomy, that word literally means second law. Second law. Deuteros Nomos, that's what that means, second law. And it's not to say that the law of God has changed. It's not to say that anything has been added to or taken from, but merely what it is telling us in here is that Moses is told to give a repetition of the law to God's people. And throughout the first 27 chapters of this book, what we find strewn through in and out and throughout the account of the Israeli people as they wandered through the wilderness is 613 statutes, not just the Ten Commandments that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai, but 613 statutes of the Word of God that were given to these people to obey God while they were in the wilderness. And we find that in his 27th chapter, the people come to Moses, or rather, Moses comes to the people and he's preaching and he charges them and he says, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. Many a times we like to take the Bible and overcomplicate things. Solomon, as he was given to apostasy, even in his old age, but in his wisdom, he pens these words in the book of Ecclesiastes. He said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." And you and I would save ourselves a lot of trouble tonight if we would just do what God tells us to do when He tells us to do it. If every time the Holy Spirit of God came by our way and gave us direction and told us what to do, if we would yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God, we'd save ourselves a lot of sleepless nights. We've saved ourselves a lot of heartaches and a lot of trouble. And we need to ask ourselves tonight, is our authority in the right place? Is our authority in the right place? Don't expect the blessings of God on your life if your authority is not in the right place. See, the people knew where to go to get a hold of God. They knew to go to Moses. They knew to go to Aaron. They knew to, when in doubt, to just lean and fall back on the Word of God and the law of God. And many a times, we as Christians in our own lives, and what our sinful humanistic nature wants for us to do, is to try and condone our sin, to try and okay it, to try and justify our sin in the sight of a holy God, and we take it from any authority but the Bible. We take it from any authority but God. Many a times we try and justify our sin by looking at other people and seeing what they're doing and saying, well, I'm not quite as bad off as they are. Or if they can do it, so can I. Or if I can do this, so can they. My friend, that's why it's so important for us tonight to be a good testimony for the glory of God. Someone is watching you tonight. If you're saved, if you're born again, if you're in here and you're a Christian, your authority needs to be in the right place because someone is watching you. Amen. Don't be afraid to stand up to somebody. Don't be afraid to be bold and say, "Oh, you know what, brother? I can't do that because it's in the Bible. The Bible tells me I'm not supposed to do that. The Bible tells me I'm not supposed to watch that. The Bible tells me I'm not supposed to listen to that. The Bible tells me I'm not supposed to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." We need to take our authority from the Word of God. I want to ask you tonight, where does your authority rest? They came to Moses, the man of God, and he said, "Keep all the commandments which I command you this day." Not only should I ask us tonight if our authority is in the right place, I want to ask you this, are your actions in the right place? Are your actions in the right place? Let's go back to the Scriptures and we'll continue on in the second verse now. "And it shall be on the day when ye shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones, and plaster them with plaster, and thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey." We'll go down into verse number 4. "Therefore it shall be when ye are gone over Jordan that ye shall set up these stones which I command you this day in Mount Ebal, shall plaster them with plaster, and there shall build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings unto the Lord thy God." God, when He gave these instructions to the people of Israel, He was very specific. You and I hope you're reading the same Bible I am tonight, and what you find in this chapter is that God is very, very specific with the instructions that He gives to the people of Israel. He says, "Take these stones." He says, "I don't want broken stones on the altar." He said, "I want whole stones to be used for this altar." And He says, "You're going to plaster them with plaster," but He said, "I don't want you to lift any iron tool upon these stones." And I want you to imagine in your mind, if you've ever done any kind of mason work or if you've ever done any kind of stone work, you'll know that it's not an easy thing to do, and it's surely not an easy thing to do if you don't have a trowel, if you don't have tools, if you don't have a small shovel. And He tells the people of God, He says, "I don't want any iron tool lifted upon them." He said, "I don't want any broken stones." Many a times you take those stones and you take the pieces that are broken, or you break them, or you shape them to try and make them fit the way you want them to fit. But He said, "Take whole stones," and He told them, He said, "Write every word of the law on them." You and I know that this is going to take a while for them to do. You and I know that this is not going to be an easy task for these people to do. And many a times we get overwhelmed when God gives us instructions and he gives us very specific instructions. See, God was very specific in Deuteronomy chapter number 27, and what he did is he left no room for compromise. He left no room for cutting corners. He left no room for taking shortcuts. He left no room for them doing it their way. He told them the way that he wanted it done, and that's the way that it was going to get done. Amen. And many a times what we have today in this modern day Christianity, we mentioned the cell groups and the rock and roll music and all these things. We have a Christianity that is user friendly. We have a Christianity that appeals to the flesh. We have a Christianity that is superficial and only goes skin deep. And we have a Christianity that says, come as you are and leave as you were. God's Word has no gray areas. It is black and it's white, it's wrong or it's right, it's holy or it's unholy. And God, as He gives these actions and instructions to the people of Israel, He urges them to do them the way that He wants done. Amen. Are your actions in the right place? Man, I tell you, there's been some times in the ministry that it'd be real easy to cut corners. Amen. There's been some times in the ministry that it'd be real easy to say, you know what? I just don't want to do that. You know what? I'm too tired. I just don't want to do that. There'll be some times in the ministry where I've sat across from a desk for somebody with tears in their eyes, and I've had to give them the truth of God's Word as much as it hurt me and as much as I knew it would cut them open and as much as I knew it would convict them. And it would have been real easy for me to just say, you know what? It's okay. God will just overlook it. You know, it'd be real easy a lot of times just to do whatever makes us feel all right. Amen? But don't expect the blessings of God doing that. Amen. Don't expect the blessings of God if you're cutting corners, if you're hopping, skipping, and jumping the commandments of God. He gave these people very specific instructions. And tonight, He gives you and I specific instructions from His Word. Amen? And it's not always easy. Man, this is an offensive book. It's going to break you down. You get down and you read the Bible for an hour, you're going to get up with a black eye, man. Every now and then, God, the Holy Ghost, is going to deal with your heart about something because that is a holy book from a holy God, and we are unholy creatures. Amen. But God gives us a lit path. The Bible says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God gives us instructions so that us wicked creatures, made new in Christ, can follow after that spirit, that new nature, that new man, that we can crucify that old flesh and live for God. Are your actions in the right place? Not only our authority and our actions need to be in the right place, our affections need to be in the right place. I like what God says in verse number 7 right here. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shall eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God. You know, I've never really had a scriptural basis for potlucks until now. I never thought about it, but he told him, he said, you should eat there. Amen. But they gather around that altar. What God is saying is this should be a place of fellowship. Amen. You get together, you do these peace offerings. He said, you should eat there, and he said, and rejoice there. Man, I tell you, some folks, getting them to come to church, it's like pulling teeth, and when you get them here, they look like they're sitting through a funeral service the whole time. I'm telling you, you ought to be excited to come out to the house of God. We're celebrating a risen Savior tonight, a God who is not dead, a God who, when we get down on this altar and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, He hears those prayers, He answers those prayers, He has all power. All power is given to Him. We get together in the house of God. We gather together. It's a time of rejoicing. Amen? Amen. Some people, you look at them while you're preaching, you think if they smiled, their face would crack and fall apart. I'm telling you. Amen. Brother Billy Kelly said, I show up to preach a camp meeting and you'd think I was preaching a cramp meeting. Amen. People look cramped up. People look like they don't want to be there. You know why? It's because their affections aren't where they need to be. Amen. Their affections aren't where they need to be. You know what makes me happy? Is when we have church, and I usually try to get back there real quick to shake hands with folks as they're leaving. And I just see people hanging around, talking, fellowshipping, laughing, hugging one another, smiling. That makes me happy. I like having church where when church is over, everybody's not flooding out of the place, but you want to hang around a while. Amen? That's the kind of church I want to be a part of. That's the kind of church I want to be in. I want to be in a place where I get fed. I want to be in a place where I can rejoice with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Amen. It's a family, the family of God. And many a times, you stick around church enough, and the Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And you pray that God will knit your heart closer and closer to His work and to His will and to His people and to His house and to His church. And I'm telling you, my friend, God will help you to rejoice when you come in this place.
Amen.
Set your affections on things above and not things below. Not the things that moth and rust corrupt, but things incorruptible set up in the heavens. Amen. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love Him. It ought to be a place of rejoicing. Our affections need to be in the right place. And I'll ask you tonight, what is your motive for being here tonight? Why did you come to church tonight? Now, I don't want you to answer me audibly, but I want you to ask yourself in your heart, and I want the Holy Ghost to bear witness to your answer, but I want you to ask yourself, why did I come to church tonight? Was it to please somebody? Was it just to see your friend? Was it just to do this or to do that? Or was it to get a hold of God? Was it because you want to be here, amen? And you get a church full of people that want to be there, you can tell, amen?
Amen?
Your affections have to be in the right place. And last but not least, your attention needs to be in the right place. Verse number 9. And Moses and the priests, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. In the verse right before that, he explains to him that final step and what's taking place here. And thou shalt write upon these stones all the words of this law very plainly. Very plainly. See, I believe that was the most important part of this whole thing, was that law to those people. Well, it had nothing to do with those stones. It had nothing to do with that plaster. It really didn't have anything to do with the location. That's just the way that God wanted it. Amen? It had to do with those words. It had to do with that message. And to these people, it was those 613 statutes. It was those tablets of stone that were given to Moses at Sinai. For you and I here this evening, it's this book right here.
Amen.
It's this book right here. You and I cannot expect the blessing of God in our life if we're not in this book.
Amen.
If we're not seeking God's face. You realize this is the voice of God? This is the mind of God? Yep. Heard something the other day. I heard somebody was telling some sort of a joke or something, and they said this man prayed and prayed and prayed for God to speak to him while his Bible sat 3 feet away. God help us. Many a times that's the day and age in which we live. God's Word is ignored. And rather than being the centerpiece in our lives, the Bible is just a centerpiece in our living room.
Amen.
It sits there, it's unopened. On Saturday night or on Sunday morning, we pick it up and we dust it off. We tuck it under our arm. And we show up to church. God won't bless that.
Amen.
God won't bless that. Our attention needs to be in the right place. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You get in that book, you'll be surprised what you'll find.
Yes, sir.
Answers to questions you didn't even think you had. Amen. It's got them all right there. The Bible says in the 138th Psalm, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Amen. For thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name.
Amen.
You want to know how serious God takes this book? He magnified it above His name. I believe that God's stamp of approval is on the King James Bible.
Amen.
I believe if you're in here tonight and you have a King James Bible, you have the Word of God.
Amen.
What kind of relationship could you have with your spouse or your friends or your brothers, your sisters, siblings, your parents. If many a times they tried talking to you, but you never wanted to hear it. You never wanted to hear what they had to say. Or you'd call them and you'd ask them a question, you'd talk to them, but as soon as they go to answer you, you hang up the phone or you turn your back. We commune with God in this present day and age. We have fellowship with God Almighty because of the mediator, the man Christ Jesus, and the two agents through which God works in this present day and age in this world is the Holy Ghost of God that indwells believers and His written Word. I want to have the blessing of God on my life. I don't want to put myself in a place where God has to chastise me, where God has to whip me, where God has to break me down and get my attention because I'm not listening to Him. Which mountain are you standing on tonight, church? Where is your authority tonight? Where are your actions tonight? Where are your affections tonight? Where is your attention tonight? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just one moment? With every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed this evening. I wonder if there'd be some Christians in here tonight that want to come and get on the altar and say, God, I want to be where You'll bless me. I want to be in the right place. I want to be where You want me to be, doing what You want me to do. I want to be there, Lord. God, I don't want to be in a place where You have to correct me, where You have to chasten me, where You have to constantly be redirecting me, where You constantly have to be pulling my focus in somewhere else. God, I want You to deal with my heart tonight, and I want to find myself in a place where You'll bless me. If you're in here tonight, would you just raise your hand and say, Preacher, that's me. I want the blessings of God in my life. I want to listen to the Lord. I want to be His right-hand man here on earth. I want Him to use me, and I want to be yielded to Him. I wonder if there'd be any Christians in here tonight that'd be honest enough to raise their hand and say, Preacher, one part of that message or another spoke to my heart, and I know that there's things in my life that I could do better to be closer to God. If that's you, will you raise your hand? God bless you. I got both of my hands up. God bless you. If you're in here tonight and God's dealing with your heart and you want to come to the altar and pray, I invite you to come. Those of you who remain in your pews, I ask you to sing softly with me. I'll sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. I have decided to follow